here this evening that we might continue and conclude our worship service to God on this Lord's Day. We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Arthur Davis. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He read verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. For the last 2 weeks, many of you have periodically watched the various contests at the Olympic Games that convened in London, England for 2012. You've watched the swimming contests. You've watched track and field events. And I guess some of the most exciting events in the Olympic Games are those that involve running. You have watched the gymnastic contests, and you watched basketball and volleyball and soccer and water polo and all kinds of games, boxing and wrestling. This is not something that is new, and this is not something that the Christian cannot see the Christian life reflected in. They were having Olympic Games back during the days of Paul. And this is reflected in our scripture lesson for this evening. As a matter of fact, even as we presently speak, the closing ceremonies bringing the games to an official end are in progress even now. As we think about spiritual Olympics, we want to think in terms of the diligence of the participants and the discipline of the participants. I never cease to be amazed at how hard the participants in the various events train in preparing themselves to compete and getting ready for the contest, and how much they sacrifice in an effort to win in that particular event. As we look at verse number 24, Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." The believer enters the Christian race, and he enters to win. He should be in it to win it. In the athletic contest, every runner enters the race for one purpose only, to win. However, only one receiveth the prize, that is, receiveth the golden prize. Of course, now, if you come in second place, Gary, you'll get some silver. If you come in third place, you'll get some bronze. If you come in fourth place, you'll get, bless you, that was good. But everybody, nobody goes out there basically saying, if I can just win the bronze, or if I can just come in fourth. No, everyone would like, I think some folks know they're not going to win the gold, but everyone would like to win the gold medal. The gold medal is awarded to the one who comes in first. And everybody wants to win the gold. The believer should strain just like the Olympic athlete in running to obtain the prize. Nothing is acceptable except running and running hard. You're not going to win if you put forth a half-hearted effort. You're not going to win if you don't really strive to give your best. When it comes to running the race, walking fast is unacceptable. When it comes to running the race, jogging is unacceptable. When you are involved in a sprint contest, lagging behind lackadaisically is unacceptable. Showing little concern for the finish line is unacceptable. The point is this: the believer must run as diligently as the runner at the Olympic Games. The believer must put out the same kind of vigorous, enthusiastic, committed effort in order to reach the finish line. He must be vigorous and diligent. He must persist in the Christian race. Again, we quote the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." We note also in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 16, Paul speaks of holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14, Paul affirms, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And it's fascinating, and it's very interesting and attention arresting to watch those who are racing, how they strain, especially when they're close to the finish line. They put forth every effort, you know, and that last few feet, because they want to cross that finish line, and they want to cross that finish line first. I'm thinking about the sentiments expressed by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, when he says, "I have fought a good fight." I didn't see any of the boxing. Any of y'all saw any boxing? I didn't see no actual boxing contest. I saw a boxer interviewed. I didn't see an actual wrestling contest, but I saw a wrestler from the United States who won the gold medal. I saw him interviewed. But Paul here says, I have fought a good fight. It's been a long fight, but it's been a good one. It's been a tough fight, but it's been a good one. It's been a difficult fight, but it's been a good fight. It's been a terrible struggle, but it was a good fight. After you finish and you know you fought a good fight, you can feel good about fighting a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have crossed the finish line. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. How many of you want to cross the finish line? How many of you want to be faithful? How many of you want the goal? How many of you want to actually sweep through the pearly gates? Enter that celestial city where the streets are paved with gold. Isn't that wonderful? Walls of jasper, gates of pearl. I don't want to miss that. No, indeed, I don't want to miss it. But in order to win, in order to cross that finish line, Sister English, you must exercise perpetual discipline. All of these Olympic athletes, they exercise discipline. They have to be disciplined. The believer strenuously disciplines and controls himself. Every runner and boxer is highly disciplined in body, mind, thought, spirit, exercise, workouts, and contests. He is disciplined in body, what he eats, and how he eats. You can't just pig out. You have to eat pretty healthy for the most part. In mind, he is disciplined in mind and thought. His concentration on the goal and how to best gear his body, spirit, and mind to that end. In spirit, he is disciplined in keeping his spirit strong and motivated for the strain necessary to work out day by day and to reach his goal. My heart went out to a young lady. I can't think of her name. But 4 years ago, I understand that while she was involved in the race, trying to go for the goal, she fell. Some of y'all probably saw that. And I don't know if she put forth every possible effort in this contest to keep from falling or not. She probably did. But as they were going down the home stretch, you know what happened again? She fell. Oh, my heart just broke for her, Cliff. That hurt me. She won't have another opportunity for at least 4 more years. But she fell, and you could just see her crying, and the tears were profusely running down her eyes, and she was down on the track, beating the track and just crying because she had fallen. You see, having fallen thusly, she was summarily and instantaneously disqualified. All that, I know it hurt her, but that hurt me as well. But you have to be so careful. I was watching the relay race. I don't know if it was the it was the 400, I believe. But you have a certain, see, there are rules. There are rules in these various contests. And if you're going to win, you're going to have to run and compete according to the rules. There are rules in living the Christian life and in running the Christian race as well. You have to follow the rules. Now, when it comes to the relay races, you have a certain zone when you get ready to pass off the baton to the next runner in line. He can start off running before you get there, and you run right on up, and he has his hand back there, he grabs that baton and takes off. But there's a line. If you cross that line before you have passed the baton, you know what happens? Out of there. Disqualification. Disqualification. You know, it's over for you. And that has to be painful. You know, sometimes Christians can so conduct themselves in running the Christian race that he disqualifies himself. So he has to maintain great discipline in preparation as well as great discipline in the actual participation of the race. You have to stay focused, like Christians in running the Christian race, in living the Christian life. We must stay focused. We cannot allow ourselves to be tripped up. The word striveth is from a Greek word which means agony. The participant in the contest disciplines himself to the point of pain. The discipline involved covers his body, his mind, and his spirit. And that's the place where God's presence actually dwells. Therefore, he does not allow anything to touch or enter his body. Notice now, he does not allow anything to touch or enter his body that is corrupt, impure, polluted, or that will cause a more rapid deterioration of the temple. Y'all remember Ben Johnson? He was a Canadian sprinter. My memory serves me properly. What happened to Brother Ben? Brother Ben had his medals taken away. How come? He did not compete and participate according to the rules. He put something in his body. He was what they call doping. He was taking performance enhancing drugs. Disqualified. Said, give us those medals. Took them back. Y'all remember Marion Jones? And that really hurt me because Marion had bragged about, no, I don't do no doping. No, I don't do any doping. I'm clean. I worked and earned my titles. I did it the old-fashioned way, Dennis Bond. I worked hard, trained hard, and disciplined myself. Then lo and behold, Larry Reese, it was discovered that she had been taking performance-enhancing drugs. Her image was greatly tarnished as a result of the discovery and disclosure of her not following the rules. I found something out, read it someplace, but when they take your blood and other specimens where they do the tests, They keep those samples for 10 years. For 10 years. If new technology advancements become such in the future that they are unable to detect that you have been taking performance-enhancing drugs, they will mess you up 9 or 10 years down the road. Lance Armstrong is still being hounded by the officials, whether it is justified or not. He won at least, what, 7 or 8 of those races? But they are still trying to say, no, you didn't do it fairly. You didn't play fair. You were doping. You took performance-enhancing drugs. Usain Bolt, arrogant and confident old boy. But Usain said, I can't stand Carl Lewis. Because Lewis say something must be wrong, William Pryor. How are these Jamaicans going to win all these races? And sometimes 1, 2, 3, Jamaicans. He said, I believe they've been doping. But you have to be careful. You can't just accuse folk because without having proof or some kind of evidence. And so Bolt said, I can't stand him. I can't stand him because he's accusing me and my fellow teammates of using performance-enhancing drugs unfairly. And we are not. I know I'm not. And I hope he knows what he's talking about. But we have to follow the rules. The Christian controls his body. His body is actually the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Now, one of the things, let me point out, and we'll be finished in a moment. One of the things, when it comes to racing for God, it's voluntary. You are not forced or coerced in becoming a part of God's team. You know, that was a young lady who had run in the Olympics, I believe, for Ethiopia. I think I got that right. And she moved from Ethiopia to one of the Nordic countries. And you know, those folk didn't want to give her up. And they said, no, girl, you can't run for this other country, your adopted country. If you're going to run and participate, you're going to have to run for us. And you know, they took that young lady's passports and made life very difficult for her and forced her to run for their country. That was a shame, sin and a shame from my perspective. So she ran. She didn't come in. I don't think she got any of the gold or silver or bronze. I wonder if she really put forth her all. You know, I don't think under those circumstances, but I probably would have run a pretty good race, but I don't know if I would have did my very best. But she was running under protest. But God doesn't do that. He's not going to make you do anything. He's not going to force you or twist your arm, coerce you into competing. You know, it has to be freely done. You have to voluntarily sign up and meet the entrance requirements in order to participate. But they made this young lady participate. As Christians, we must recognize that the prize is more than worth the diligence and the discipline that is required in order to win the Christian race. Now, Paul speaks of the reward for the winner. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. They didn't give out gold medal, silver medal, and bronze medals back in those days. You know what they gave out? They gave out a wreath of pine and laurel leaves. But they were highly prized, and a great deal of fame and notoriety came along with winning. But today, you can win the gold, you can win the silver, and you can win the bronze. But that's still corruptible. That's not going to last. Your fame is fleeting. You know, we can think of some of the Olympians from the past who did well. You don't hear very much about them now. Some of them got good contracts with Nike and various other companies. But now they have pretty well faded from view. Paul says, we're running as spiritual Olympic athletes, not to obtain a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown, a crown of life that fades not away. No matter how diligently and vigorously you train, no matter how you discipline your body and control your spiritual appetites and deprive yourself of lustful indulgences, it's worth it, because you will receive a crown of life that does not fade away. Have you entered the contest yet? Have you signed up to become one of God's spiritual Olympic athletes? Are you committed to training and disciplining yourself and being diligent that you might cross the finish line and win? Of course, you know, a person who never wins in the Christian race, or who never wins at the Olympics, one who never enters the race. Or somebody might label under the concept of Pat Buttram. Pat says, if you don't compete, you can't be beat. But don't believe it. You most certainly can. You beat yourself. You'll end up behind the eight ball rather than crossing the finish line if you don't sign up. You never will win if you never enter the contest. You can enter the Christian race through obedience to the gospel of Christ. You've heard that good news of the gospel, how Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. I was buried, and he rose again triumphantly from the grave on the third day. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. Submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, and arise to walk in the newness of life, and begin running the Christian race. Maybe you're here and you have already begun running the race, but through involvement in sin, you have lapsed into unfaithfulness and you have been disqualified. You can re-enter, you can re-up, you can recommit yourself through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you're here in either category, we'd like to encourage you to come as we together stand.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the porters he's waiting and watching.